Hey everybody, Maurer here, and today we've got quite a few different stories to catch up on after the long weekend. We have news from institutional investors, including Berkshire Hathaway, news on Tesla in India, Tesla's US market share, and some news on other electric vehicles. Tesla stock opened the week today, finishing down 2.4% to $796.22. That compared to the NASDAQ, down 0.3%. We'll start off here with a quick update on the Berkshire Hathaway situation. Remember, we had talked on Friday that we should be getting the 13F filing, disclosing the quarterly holdings from Berkshire Hathaway sometime this weekend. Did actually come out after market close today, slightly later than it's been for the last 3 years just because of the timing of the weekend and President's Day. Anyway, not too surprisingly, the mystery position on the Berkshire Hathaway 13F from Q3 did not end up being Tesla. They have two big new positions, the first of which is Verizon. Their investment there ended up at $8.6 billion at the end of Q4. And then Chevron, their investment there at $4.1 billion at the end of the quarter. Berkshire Hathaway also added two new smaller positions in EU Scripps and Marsh & McLellan companies. So Verizon and Chevron are now both top 10 holdings for Berkshire Hathaway. I would imagine one of those two was the one that was not previously disclosed, though I'm not sure why that would necessarily be granted. Those don't really seem like the type of companies that would be all that shocking for Berkshire Hathaway to invest in. So for Buffett's sake, for his legacy, for, you know, their performance, I would have loved to have seen that be Tesla. They definitely went in the other direction here with the investment in Chevron. So disappointing to see for a number of different reasons, and the impact to Tesla stock being very low on that list of reasons. But I did find it kind of amusing to point out, as I did on Twitter earlier today, that Tesla actually made $6.3 billion more in 2020 than Chevron did. And Tesla themselves only made about $700 million. So the other half of that equation, Chevron, of course, lost about $5.5 billion. That comment is pretty tongue-in-cheek, and it just kind of harkens back to the days where, well, I guess we're still kind of in them, when people criticize Tesla for their lack of GAAP profitability or their low GAAP profitability, or when people talk about things like PE ratios and such. Chevron doesn't even have a PE ratio, and Berkshire Hathaway is investing in them. It just goes to show how limited those metrics are, and the context is much more important than trying to define a business by one single metric. Anyway, at least we can now put that speculation behind us. The next big news from over the weekend was on Tesla in India. This is a subject, of course, that we've talked about a lot. We now have a new statement from the chief minister of the Indian state, Karnataka, that was reported on by the News Minute on Saturday, which said that, quote, American firm Tesla will open an electric car manufacturing unit in Karnataka, end quote. The News Minute says that the statement was part of the list of benefits promised to Karnataka in the union budget. They also report that at the time of the announcement, the chief minister there tweeted that Tesla would open an R&D center in Bengaluru, but that that tweet was quickly deleted. Per this report, the time frame and manner in which Tesla will operate in India is yet to be decided, but that this announcement has followed months of correspondence between the state government and Tesla. So of course, Tesla's possible entrance into India is nothing new. We've been talking about that now for a few months, but the interesting detail here is the specification of an electric car manufacturing unit. While there is certainly a lot of potential growth in India, as far as the total vehicle market currently, it's not all that huge, especially in Tesla's segment. The total market is about 3 million vehicles per year, obviously centered around the lower price bands, with companies like BMW and Mercedes selling about 10,000 vehicles per year in India, and even companies like Honda and Toyota, right around 130,000 each. With Tesla's newest gigafactories, Berlin and Texas, seeming to target about 2 million vehicles per year in terms of output, it's a little bit tough to imagine something of that scale in India, even considering the export potential. As Tesla continues to build out their worldwide manufacturing footprint, the need for exported vehicles is just decreased naturally as more demand is fulfilled locally. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens here on the vehicle side for Tesla in India. As we've talked about before, I think there is a big market for energy. India is the third ranking country for energy consumption, and of course that energy consumption just continues to grow. And they're also extremely well positioned geographically to reap the benefits of solar power. So maybe what we end up seeing is some sort of gigafactory that's a little bit more scaled down on the vehicle side. Maybe they just do sort of one line, 250,000 a year for vehicles, and then a larger percentage than normal goes to Tesla Energy. The return on something like that's not going to be as great as it is for something like Giga Berlin, of course, but given what Tesla has pulled off in Shanghai, it should still be feasible economically and still get a pretty good return. I haven't seen too much from analysts on this yet, but it looks like Wedbush did chime in, and it seems like they're thinking that this could add about 5% to vehicle sales by 2026. I don't remember exactly, but they're probably forecasting somewhere between 3 to 4 million vehicle sales at that point in time, so 5% on that would be 150 to 200,000. Next here, just a quick thing while we are on the topic of Tesla's factories. Jason Yang posted a video that was out of China for a Chinese media company that did a little tour at Gigafactory Shanghai. No major news out of that I saw, but it was interesting to watch and does have English subtitles, so I'll put the link to that in the show notes. A couple of interesting things that I think people are aware of, but they did mention that the Model Y and the Model 3 assembly lines are completely separate, despite the shared parts. And they shared some detail on some of the things Tesla does with their power tools, which record data as they're being used to help Tesla adjust processes over time. All right, next up here, we're going to jump back into the institutional investor filings for a minute. Just like we talked about with Berkshire Hathaway, this sort of stuff is generating some headlines around Tesla over the last few days, so I just want to talk about it briefly. Two that are driving the most attention for Tesla are Baillie Gifford and Capital World, so these are two of the biggest holders for Tesla stock. And both of them, with their 13F filings this quarter, have disclosed that they hold significantly less shares of Tesla than they did the prior quarter. Capital World sold about 6 million shares of Tesla, while Baillie Gifford sold about 7.4 million shares of Tesla. But if we look at the percent that Tesla holds in their portfolio, Tesla is still the number one stock for both of these companies. And even after the sales, Tesla as a percent of the total portfolio for these companies has actually increased. So for Capital World, previously Tesla was about 4.9% of their portfolio. Now it's increased to 6.3% as Tesla shares have risen. And for Baillie Gifford, at the end of Q4, Tesla was 10.7% versus 10.25% previously. So if you do happen to see those headlines, none of that should be surprising. None of that should be concerning. These larger funds, they want to stay diversified. So as Tesla grows relative to other stocks, they need to reduce their position to keep it at a certain percentage. So for Baillie Gifford, it looks like that's 10%. For Capital World, that's probably 5% in those ballparks. Not really any different than what we'd see from ARK Invest. We actually talked about this same thing back in September when Baillie Gifford reduced their stake in Tesla at that point in time due to the increase in share price. It had fallen below ownership of 5% of Tesla. That's why the disclosure. And at the time, managing partner James Anderson said, quote, "The substantial increase in Tesla's share price means that we needed to reduce our holding in order to reflect concentration guidelines which restrict the weight of a single stock in clients' portfolios. However, we intend to remain significant shareholders for many years ahead. We remain very optimistic about the future of the company. Tesla no longer faces any difficulty in raising capital at scale from outside sources, but should there be serious setbacks in the share price, we would welcome the opportunity to once again increase our shareholding," end quote. Anyway, long story short, in my opinion, these institutions reducing their stake in Tesla should not be seen as any sign of concern. Next here, just a quick check on some of the things Elon Musk has been tweeting about over the last few days. If you've been following that, a lot of it has been on Dogecoin. We're not going to go through every single tweet on that. But the gist is that Musk seems interested and actually supportive of Dogecoin, but the problem is that a lot of the Dogecoin value is consolidated in the hands of a very small number of individuals. So as a response to that train of thought, somebody said he should develop a new Elon coin and try to make that the currency of the earth. And Elon replied, quote, "only if necessary," end quote. So I think what we're seeing here is a broader storyline about Elon Musk's interest and his exploration into cryptocurrency. And I do think it's possible that we're in the early innings of what that ends up leading to. Especially when we bring SpaceX into the fold and start thinking about Mars colonization, which for us maybe seems far away, but for Elon Musk, he's thinking about those things. And SpaceX intends to lay the building blocks, the foundation for Mars, and part of that foundation is the economic system. So certainly that's part of the conversation from time to time. And remember, at the MicroStrategy Bitcoin conference, SpaceX's head of treasury was there. And just today on Twitter, Elon Musk replied to someone saying there will definitely be a Mars coin. So bringing that back to Tesla, we're talking about a company here that has a history of purpose-built compute power, and a lot of that is going to spend a lot of time sitting idle, even in a robo-taxi scenario. So with Musk's and Tesla's newfound interest in cryptocurrency, I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say, maybe some of that idle compute capacity could be utilized for the foundations of a cryptocurrency. The specialization there then becomes a big question, because obviously Tesla's hardware right now is not well-suited for mining Bitcoin or something like that. But what if Tesla developed a cryptocurrency that worked better with what that hardware is optimized for? And what if Tesla's next hardware was something that was more optimized for that dual purpose? Now, maybe this is something that just completely doesn't make sense. Certainly not the technical expert in that space, but I do think it's an interesting question to think about. And while 6 months ago, I probably would have just written off the question of a Tesla cryptocurrency, I think we're now at the point where it merits discussion. So let me know what you think about that in the comments. And again, if you get any weird reply to your comments by some impersonator account asking you to contact me on WhatsApp, it's not me. I'm never going to do that. All right, next up here, we've got some news on the electric vehicle landscape. We're going to start off with U.S. market share. Today, Experian has shared registration information that they have collected on U.S. market share for electric vehicles, and they are putting Tesla's U.S. EV market share at 79%. Pretty incredible market share, and from the reports that we have seen over the last few years, that's held pretty steady, right around that 80% mark. I think most people know that I'm not a big market share person at this stage, but this does just remind people, I think, of how dominant Tesla is in their home market, with Tesla taking 4 of the top 5 slots, with the Chevy Bolt coming in 3rd, the only other to crack the top 5. And this is just units. If we look at revenue or profit, Tesla's got an even larger share, probably greater than 100% share of profits. Speaking of US market share, Mercedes-Benz announced yesterday through Autoblog.com that they no longer intend to deliver the Mercedes-Benz EQC in the United States. Quote, following a comprehensive review of market developments, the EQC will not be offered in the US for now, end quote. Now, if they're production constrained, something like that could make sense, but for some reason, I feel like that's probably not the reason. Another relevant piece of news here is that GM has announced a new redesigned Chevy Bolt for 2022 that will start shipping early summer this year, with a new base price at just under $32,000. That's about $5,500 cheaper than the current version of the Bolt. The updated version will carry a 65 kilowatt hour battery, maintaining the same 259 mile estimated range. It will feature a redesigned exterior and interior, and they're also adding a variant that they're calling the EUV, so I guess electric utility vehicle, that is a slightly larger, I think 6 inches longer, variant of the Bolt. That one's $2,000 more expensive, so just under $34,000 starting price. GM says the updated Bolt is still using the older battery architecture rather than the Ultium battery platform they announced last year. Interestingly, GM says this will be the first Chevy vehicle to have access to Super Cruise technology, though it won't come standard. And according to Motor Trend, quote, because the 2022 Bolt EUV doesn't use GM's new, more capable electrical architecture, the EUV uses GM's conventional Super Cruise system and not the enhanced version that can also handle lane changes. It also means over-the-air updates are limited to the infotainment system, not vehicle upgrades, end quote. So overall, some decent updates here for the Bolt. I think that $5,500 price cut is the biggest one. Who knows if GM's making any money on that, but at least it separates the Bolt and puts it a little bit below the Model 3. For the time being, at least. Obviously, though, cheaper Teslas loom in the future. All right, last quick thing on the EV landscape. Jaguar Land Rover has announced a reimagining, they're calling it, of the future, which includes, quote, reimagination of Jaguar as an all-electric luxury brand from 2025 to realize its unique potential, end quote. They also announced that over the next 5 years, Land Rover will introduce 6 pure electric variants, and that by the end of the decade, 100% of Jaguar vehicles, as well as 60% of Land Rover vehicles, they expect to be all electric. Now, consider me skeptical of these announcements, but when we look through this announcement closely, I don't actually see anything in here that says Jaguar is going to be all electric in 2025. What they really say, if you read it closely, is that they want to reimagine the brand as an all-electric luxury brand from 2025. But if you parse out that statement and the rest of their announcement, I didn't see anywhere where they said they're not going to sell internal combustion engine vehicles in 2025. My hunch is that this announcement and the 22-minute presentation that they had about this was extremely strategically crafted to allow them room to continue to sell internal combustion engine Jaguar vehicles through 2030, while technically still fulfilling this announcement by at least making sure that all of their vehicles come in an all-electric variant. I also think that I saw an article that implied something similar, but I've already spent, I don't know, almost an hour researching this, so not worth the time to go deeper. But it just didn't seem very clear to me until they say that 2030 timeline, 100% of Jaguar sales being all electric, which I found kind of humorous because, probably not coincidentally, 2030 is the year that the UK intends to ban the sale of internal combustion engine vehicles. Anyway, maybe I'm just reading too much into the announcement because of past announcements like this that we've had from companies, but if Jaguar really does convert everything over 100% of Jaguar sales by 2025, that's great. As a smaller brand, that should be feasible. But I'll definitely be keeping my eye out for any hints on if that's actually their full intention. All right, for the last couple of things here, I just want to hop over to SpaceX for a minute. CNBC is reporting this evening that SpaceX has raised an additional $850 million, valuing the company at right around $74 billion, which would be about a 61% increase from its previous valuation of $46 billion back in August. Coincidentally, this puts SpaceX's share price at $419.99 per share. Unfortunately for retail investors, SpaceX, of course, does remain private, even though they do have intense demand for their shares. CNBC says, quote, notably, SpaceX raised only a portion of the funding available in the marketplace, with one person telling CNBC that the company received, quote unquote, insane demand of about $6 billion in offers over the course of just 3 days, end quote. While it is disappointing for retail investors that SpaceX isn't public, at least it's good to see that they do have this robust access to capital, and they can continue to move forward without that holding them back. Two other quick SpaceX updates. Yesterday, they had a Starlink launch mission for 60 Starlink satellites. Unfortunately, even though the mission was successful as a whole, they were not able to land the booster, which was the first time they've been unsuccessful doing that since March of 2020. So they had 24 straight successful landings prior to Monday. So a little bit disappointing, but I'm sure it should be a good learning experience for SpaceX. As of yet, they haven't made any official comment as to why the landing was not successful. Lastly, a quick update on Starship progress. SpaceX is now currently on Starship serial number 10, and it looks like we could see some testing for that as early as this week. Boca Chica, Texas residents have actually been notified that tomorrow, February 17th, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time, SpaceX will be conducting space flight activities that would be presumed to be the serial number 10 static fire test. Definitely don't hold your breath, but we may see some action there. And as far as an actual test flight, Elon Musk recently said on Twitter that he puts the probability of a successful landing on a test flight this time at 60%. So we'll keep an eye out for updates on that, but that will wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, February 17th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.